Joshua tonight. Joshua, we're going to be in the fourth chapter. So last time we considered the third chapter of Joshua and we saw how they went over the River Jordan into the land as Joshua commanded them the way the Lord told him to do it, a step of faith. Talked a little bit about how sometimes that step of faith might be into a place or a way that we might wonder about a little bit, whether that's the right place or not. But you know, the Lord said, put your foot in that Jordan, and those men bearing the ark, they did that, and the Jordan was rolled back, and they went across on dry land. And so in chapter 4, we see kind of the conclusion of this. And I think one of the main, probably the main topic out of chapter 4 is the thought about a memorial, about remembering and being reminded. And that's probably something we'll concentrate on a little bit here. Joshua chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war, passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And so we see the conclusion of them going over the Jordan. Last time we saw the Jordan roll back, and they were going to cross the Jordan. And here we see the conclusion of this. And God had prepared, if you remember in the previous chapter, he had told Joshua, and Joshua had prepared 12 men, one from every tribe. And now we know what their preparation was for, what they were to do, because God tells them here that each one of them is going to take a stone out of the middle of the Jordan and take it and build a memorial on the other side. And the memorial is an important thing, because anytime the next generation looked at that and said, what's that there for? Then they would say, God brought us over this Jordan on dry land. And so it was a memorial, and it was an opportunity to speak about God's amazing goodness to them and bringing them across. And I want to notice a couple of things. In the third verse, it says, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. And so just a reminder that the priest walked to the edge of the Jordan rolled back, and then they walked down and stood in the Jordan, and they stood firm. There was no wavering. There was no turning back, wondering. They needed to be there until it was finished, and we'll see that later. We'll consider that thought. But we had some really good, we had a good message this morning, in our service this morning, and I was just thinking about the need for steady faith. They stood firm there, and the people walked over, and their faith did not waver in this time. They went over on dry land. Again, I think when you see or think, consider something of this magnitude, what God did here, it might be easy to get a little afraid. I mean, you're walking down into the Jordan. What about all that water that could come running back? And you might get a little afraid and be worried about that. But God had the priests stood there the whole time. And not a single one of them had to worry about that coming back. And as a reminder, you know, we talked about this last time, that this drying up of the Jordan, this the priest standing in the Jordan, one of the things that it pictures for us is our Lord as he stood, if you will, in the river of God's judgment for us and held it back so that we might go over on dry land. And so this is a reminder then to us that we need not worry. It's firm. It's fixed. We can walk over and we don't have to worry that it's not going to hold, that it's not going to stay. It has been done. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we get down to the further in this chapter as well. And so they passed over, and it says they passed over in haste. And I appreciate that there's a certain urgency to all of this, and that just reminded me that the time in which we live, there's a certain urgency to enter into God's provision by his Son, because the time is growing short now. And we don't want to waste the time that is before us. In the sixth verse of this chapter, he makes this statement about the sign. He says that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. And you know, they passed this on from generation to generation. They told about what God had done. I want to go to Psalm 44 and read something the psalmist writes many, 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 many years later, a few generations down. And he writes this in verse 1 of Psalm 44. He says, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand and planted them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor on them. And so you see that all of this that we're going to be studying in the book of Joshua, this was rehearsed from generation to generation so that they might know what God has done. And even down, by the way, unto our generation as we read God's word today. Also in Psalm 71 and verse 17, Psalm 71 and verse 17, the psalmist here says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. A desire here from the psalmist to pass on, to tell others, the next generation, and even when he was old and gray-headed, he said, don't forsake me so that I can continue to pass this on. So there's a great encouragement again in this chapter for us, and that is that we need to tell the next generation and the generation after that and so on about God's works, about his mighty work on Calvary and about his grace. We need to pass it on. In Psalm 78, in verse 3, he says, verse 2, he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. So that, again, the simple thought about just passing on, this is a great reminder for us and a great encouragement for us that we would pass on that which we have known about God and about his grace. Verse 8 of our chapter 4, it says, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and they took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. So here I want to think about this thought, which is there were 12 men, one from every tribe, and each one of them was required to bring up a stone. And this to me is a reminder to us that every one of us has a responsibility to carry on, to pass on. See, it took all 12 stones to make the memorial. Each person that came up, each one of these men that were chosen, they had the responsibility. If one of them didn't do it, there were only going to be 11 stones on the other side. Or if two of them didn't, you see what I'm getting at. Every one of them had a responsibility. And every one of us, as God has placed us, we have a responsibility to pass on to others, to the next generation, God's grace, so that they will know. And none of us can say, well, I'll just let somebody else do that, and I won't do my part because I don't really want to do that. Every one of those men had to bring the stone and do their part. And it was work. This morning we had a thought about laboring in the Lord, and so this was work. I don't know how big these stones were, but it says they put them up on their shoulder. So they were probably pretty good sized stones that they had to carry on their shoulder. And that would have made sense in order to have a decent memorial there. You would want some decent sized stones. And so this was not an easy thing. They didn't just pick up little rocks and bring them with them. They picked up something heavy. There was some effort involved here. It was a labor. And so just as we considered this morning about laboring in the Lord, certainly as we are here and as time is allowed to us, we can labor in the Lord and pass on to the next generation and the generations to follow. Many have gone before us carrying the stones and marking, if you will, the memorials. And so now, as the Lord enables, we will carry that on until he returns to take us home. And then verse 9, Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, a reminder right in the middle of that place that it was dry ground, that he could set up a memorial there. It's a reminder to us. When I was reading about these different things about the memorials and stuff, it also reminded me of a memorial that we do. We do it once a month here, but the Lord's Supper, where we partake, and that is a memorial of his death and his resurrection, of him giving himself for us. That is a thing that we do to remind ourselves to be reminded, and also I believe that it serves to remind the ongoing generations that we celebrate what God, what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us in, if you will, standing in the Jordan for us. There's a memorial that we do. And that, you know, some people might think, well, you know, that's just, you know, it's just a thing that we do. It's just a, you know, little ritual thing that we do. And I hope that's not true for you. It shouldn't be for any of us. That shouldn't just be a little ritual thing that we do once a month. There's real meaning to it. And I know Jack always tries to remind us of that when he does that, so that we're not forgetful of the fact that that's it's very important and it's very real for us to be reminded, carefully reminded of what our Lord has done for us. And so Joshua, he set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, and those are there, it says, to this day, that they remind the generations to come. Verse 10, it says, "For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan till everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua." And when I read this, I thought about that little phrase, "until everything was finished." And it reminded me, I'm going to go to John chapter 19 real quick. And you probably know where I'm going here, but John chapter 19 and down around verse 30. Yes, John 19 and verse 30. Says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.'" And that word finished, it doesn't just mean that he was done. He was there. He was done with that part, if you will. It really means that it is complete, and it also means to discharge. In other words, to fully complete what one was sent to do. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's not just saying, "Well, I'm done." Here and he gives up his spirit, but he's saying what he was sent to do, it's finished, it's complete. And that's what I was reminded of as I read that about the priest staying there until everything was finished. Our Lord didn't, he didn't go halfway. He didn't stop in the middle. He didn't give up in the process of that. He finished what he was sent to do. It is finished. It is completed. It is 100% done and for now and forever, which is what we read in Hebrews, that he did it once and forever for all. And so this was my reminder here that we are the recipients of a finished and completed work that Christ has done for us. When we look at that and we consider that, we don't have to be concerned and worried about what will happen to us. Will we make it onto the other side? Will we make it to heaven? Will we be part of that? We don't have to worry about that. The work is completed. The price is paid in full. One of the other meanings of that word there in John was to discharge a debt. And that's the other thing that we see is he discharged a debt. He paid in full a debt that we couldn't pay. We sing that song, "He paid a debt he did not owe." I wouldn't remember. "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay." I should have sung it, I guess. It would have been easier. But he fully discharged that debt at that time. And so we have no longer to worry about that. We are recipients of a completed and finished work and passed over. God's provision is all complete. Back in our chapter 4 of Joshua, and it says, "What came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people." When Jesus was done, he come up out of that. He rose up, and it was truly completed. It was all done. And what a great thing for us to be reminded of. A memorial in God's word. I was thinking about this. You know, they put the stones and that created a memorial, something for them to talk about. And so we don't have stones sitting somewhere that we go to and talk about it. But we have the rocks, if you will, the stones of the word of God that are placed for us to look to and to be reminded. This is our memorial. God has given us all that we need to be reminded, to show us that he has provided, made provision so that we can fully partake. The land is now before them. They are able to fully partake because the provision has been made. And so also we can fully partake of God's provision because it is completed. Verse 14 of our chapter says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him. I skipped over some stuff, didn't I? I just skipped right over that. The children of Reuben, 12 and 13. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, we read a little bit of this, although they didn't mention the tribes in the previous chapter, but Joshua said unto these ones, you need to go over with your brethren just as you agreed to and as Moses instructed. And you can turn back, by the way, into the 32nd chapter, I think it is, of Numbers, and you'll find that they agreed that they would go over and fight with their brethren, even though their possession was going to be on that other side. They would go over and fight with their brethren, and they certainly did. It says they passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, verse 12. And then in 13, it says, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. And then on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. I thought this was also interesting that, it says they feared Joshua. And I don't think this word is intended to convey the thought of being afraid of as much as it is the thought of respecting and having a reverence for. What they saw was that God had been with Moses all those years. And now what they're seeing is God is with Joshua. And as Joshua brings them the word of the Lord and they obey that, they see the great power of God on their behalf. And so they recognize that Joshua indeed is chosen of the Lord. And this morning we had, in our Sunday school, we had some thoughts about respecting those that the Lord has placed over us. And so this is just another good reminder about that. The Lord places different people in different places for different purposes, and it's good for us to be reminded that we show respect and honor unto those that the Lord has placed over us to teach us the word and to be our pastors and so on, that we have a great respect for them and a great honor because they are laboring in the Lord on our behalf as well. Verse 15, the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. God's judgment was taken for us by our Lord. He rolled back the Jordan, if you will. But God's judgment is still there. Those that decide to pass it without the completed work of Christ will find themselves carried away in the torrent of God's judgment. What a great privilege is ours to know that Christ has rolled back the Jordan for us, that he has taken. We had really some really good messages in recent weeks, it seems like, and especially one, I think it was last Sunday, but about really the kind of this topic that the Lord bared for us. He took that on him. And this morning, of course, our message had to do with healing. And as Arlene clearly pointed out, by his stripes, we are healed. And that's not the stripes that the Romans laid on him. Man didn't have anything to do with our being healed, but it's the stripe that God laid on him of his judgment that he took for us. And because of that, we have all provision, right? I think I want to be careful about, just trying to pick out one thing, but this morning we had a really good message about healing. That's one of the provisions. And there's so much in there. And it was a really good message this morning. I really enjoyed that. The thought about not just physical healing. Sometimes we concentrate on that a lot, and And sometimes we need that physical healing. You know, we have these poor old bodies that sometimes are not very good. They don't behave very well. We need that physical healing, but there is healing for every part of us, body, soul, and spirit. And as Erlene pointed out this morning, our mind, sometimes we need healing of our mind, and he is able for all of that because he took the judgment that was ours, and because of that, he has provided for us complete healing, and all provision has been made for us for all things. But the Jordan came back and rolled back over its banks as it did before. It was still there. But we need not cross the Jordan on our own accord. In fact, we can't cross the Jordan of our own accord. There's no way for us to do that. Only by our Lord Jesus Christ and because of his blood. Verse 19, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. This is a little bit of a different thought here, because up till now, really, it's always been to tell your children. And now it moves to something else. And this is important for us because, yes, it's extremely important that we tell our children, that we tell our children's children and as many generations as we're able to. But it's not just for them. This is for all the earth to know. God wants everyone to know his grace. He wants everyone to know that he made provision. He wants everyone to know that there is salvation available to all those that will lay hold of it. All those that will come under the blood of Jesus Christ will be saved. Back in another memorial that God set up for Israel was the memorial of the Passover. And I don't really want to deal on that too much tonight, but I think you know that. But in the Passover, those that were in the house where the blood was applied, they were saved. Their firstborns were saved. You had to be in the house. It wasn't, you know, people sometimes don't think about this. It wasn't just you had to be an Israelite. You had to be in the house that was covered by the blood. I'm fully convinced, and I think it's probably even in there, that there were some in those houses that maybe weren't Israelites. They were also saved because they chose to be there. You know, God wants everyone to know. There are memorials in place for us to tell everyone that provision is made. The blood of Jesus Christ, it covers all who will come under it. It covers all who will come under it. Whosoever will may call upon the name of the Lord and may be saved. Paul told the jailer there, who said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And I appreciate that God has made provision, and I appreciate that he has reminders for us. We need to be reminded. We said this often. And this, you know, God doesn't do anything without thought, and he doesn't do anything just because. Everything that he does is with a purpose. And so when he said, put these stones here and erect this memorial, he had a purpose for that. And there's a purpose for us. You know, this morning we had a thought where we read something out of the Old Testament, and Paul reminds us that those things were written for our benefit. And so when we come to the Old Testament and we read these things, they're very interesting stories. At least to me, I find them interesting stories. But they're more than just interesting stories, because there is instruction for us, and there is reminders for us. And there is faith building that happens as we study the word that is given to us. And then we also pass that on to other generations. when our children say, why do you do this? Why do you believe this way? Why do you trust the Lord? We can say, because we have seen his mighty hand, because we've experienced his mighty hand, because of this, and we can point them to God's word that lays out for us what God has done. And I'm going to go again to Romans, because I think it's good to go to Romans 8 for these thoughts. But we know in verse 28, by the way, that it says that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. But the one I really want to think about is verse 31 and 32, and maybe down a little ways. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And Early made a comment this morning I thought was very good about how valuable we are to him. And this is kind of what's brought out here is the price that he paid, which you also find in the first chapter of 1 Peter, the price that he paid for us. You don't pay that price for something that's not very valuable. That's not the kind of price you pay for something that's not of extreme value. And so if he's paid that price, we are then of extreme value to him because of that. Not because we're so great in ourselves in some way, but because he has paid a great price for us. And so because of that, he has then provided for us all things that we need. All that we need to be spiritually successful and to grow spiritually. Those are all made available to us freely. Freely. They are received, as we heard again this morning, they are received by faith. See, the Israelites, they couldn't possess any of this land except they did it by faith. And we'll see some more of that as we get into more of what happens when they go to Jericho and so on. Every step, it has to be by faith. And so it is with us today. We lay hold of what God has provided for us, but we do it by faith, by believing his word. Even in the midst of the time or the place or the circumstance that seems so impossible and maybe impassable, I don't know. Either way, in the midst of all that, we still, by faith, lay hold of what he has for us. I'm going to quit tonight. Are there any questions or comments this evening? Mm-hmm.
I think it's good for us to remember. I mean, we probably all know this, that Joshua, he was the Savior, and of course,
yes. The derivative. Yes, Jesus. Yes, amen. Mm-hmm. He certainly represents, yes, he certainly is a type of Christ, isn't he? Amen.
Not the Christ, but a type.
A type, absolutely. Absolutely. There's lots of those in the Old Testament that point us, pictures and types that point us to the Christ. Amen. Yes. Yes. I think that's right. And the waters were rolled back, and we have another thought about rolled away next week as well. So there's multiple. That's very good, though. There's multiple thoughts about being rolled away. There, he rolled back the waters. The stone of the tomb was rolled away. There's some rolling away to be done.
I think Amen. Points out that just about every book, in some way, mm-hmm. points to Christ. I mean,
that's right. Yeah.
Blood was shed. It's precursor.
Yes. Yeah, I always remember Dad always taught the Old Testament, and I always remember him making some comments about that, how many must have been slain through those ages, and they were all a picture of Christ, and Christ once and for all. Once and for all. Yes, amen. I was thinking yesterday, maybe it was yesterday when I was studying it. I was thinking about the miracle of drying up the Jordan, you know, that would have been an awesome thing to see, for sure. There's no doubt about that. But in comparison to what it points to, which is the miracle of Christ providing salvation for us, it pales by comparison. It's a much greater miracle that God did in providing salvation through his Son. And we should be in awe of that every day. Every day. Amen. Yes. Yes. That's a good song to go with that. Amen. That's good. We'll be reminded again. One thing about this book is, I think we're going to get reminded a lot about God and what he's done for us and what he's doing for us even now, and his mighty power in our behalf. I think we're going to get reminded a lot about that, which is good. Amen. Let's take prayer.